glasses. That says 508.
Level 508.
Give it up for Dr. David Fraze, everybody.
Now, who's here? Josh, who's?
It's Chef Bay.
So, oh, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Guests, yeah. Students, and.
Wow.
You should have brought your A game.
Okay. My name's Randall DeMint, and I'm so glad. My name's David Fraze, and I'm addicted to my cell phone. I received two texts during that illustration. One from my daughter, "Dad, get off your cell phone." Then from someone who has my cell phone number, "Get off your cell phone. Whoever you are," I'm like, hey, I'm about to get the next level. You know, we used to think that your generation is amazing. You know, I research, I'm a sociologist by trade and a theologian. And we know that between 2016-17, something spiked in your generation. For the first time in a long time, suicide ideation, stress and anxiety went out the roof. And then COVID happened. And we like to say, well, it's because of COVID. And all of you were like cramped into these little spaces and you're, you know, you went nuts. We used to think, well, it has to be because of some bad influence in your life. And now we know the data. The only thing, the only spike in your generation, stress, anxiety, and suicide ideation are directly related to this. It doesn't matter if you're an African or an American. It doesn't matter if you did well with COVID or awful. Because we can't get our eyes off of the screen. A few weeks ago, one of my very best childhood friends, Tanya Boris, stood up on this stage, and her beautiful daughter was over here talking about their struggle, and at least a quarter of you could not get your eyes off your phone, and a few of you answered a phone call when somebody was talking about the darkest moments of their life. It's not to make you feel guilty. That's normal in our culture today. I used to yell at my kids for being two screen people. You know, if we're watching a movie, let's put our phones down and watch the movie. But what I do now is I play the game that I'm at level 508. And I'm watching. And it was my wife who called me out and said, "Are you watching this?" And I'm like, "Yeah." But I really wasn't present. We all have this issue, and you realize that today, nobody's trying to sell you a product. Nobody's trying to sell you an idea. Nobody's trying to sell you really on an opinion. Advertisers get paid today for time on screen. The other day, I was explaining this to some high school kids and some college kids, and their dad owns a company, and he was hearing me talk about this, and it's something we always talk about in our youth ministry classes, how it's changed from a product to actually time on screen. That's why when you look at something, the next thing you know, all your feeds are filled with it. It's why your phone listens as you have a conversation, and the next thing you know is you're getting advertisements about what you have an conversation about. It's not a mistake. They're getting paid for time on screen. And this owner of a company says this to these college age students: "What my advertisers try to do is create FOMO, fear of missing out." When I was in junior high, leaving elementary school, the hardest decision is where you sit at the cafeteria table. It was traumatic. I never wanted to hear again, if someone says, "Dave, I just want to be your friend," I will have post-traumatic stress disorder, because that's what the girls would say. I'm like, "Hey, nice girl over there," and I'm wearing my dad's Brute 33, don't judge, and I'm trying to smell nice. And they're like, "I just want to be friends." It was traumatic, but at least it only lasted 40 minutes. And I get to go somewhere else and be away from the stress. But this cell phone today, the best way I can describe it, this is the new lunchroom, and you never leave it. Nobody cares. I mean, you know that deep down inside. You're like going, "Well, everybody cares about where I ate lunch today." No, they don't. Everybody cares that I'm holding up this trophy. No, they don't. Everybody cares that I got a ring when I was in Pee Wee football and it's bigger than, nobody cares. but we're conditioned that way. And so stress and anxiety, suicide ideation, and some of you right now, it's so funny because I know some of you cannot put it down. And I go to churches and I'm hearing songs like this and I'm like, look what we're doing. And you're like, oh, I don't get God. So sociologically, it's messed up your emotions. Psychologically, it's messed up your identity. Because you always feel like somebody has it better than you. So we don't have very good grind. If it's not easy, you do something else. And spiritually, if I was the evil one, that's what I would do. Some of you have not individuated yet, and you call your mom or your dad every single day because these phones, we had a pay phone. Dr. Boyer, you remember that? We had a pay phone, and you had to pay a quarter to talk to your parents. And they gave us a gift of separation, but sometimes doing youth ministry in 35 years, some of you are not able to go anywhere without your parents having Life 360 on you. So maybe it's not all your fault, because you're not free to make your own mistakes. This is a problem. So why am I bringing this up? We have a great opportunity. A great opportunity to experience something this week. As a coach, let me tell you what happens with this. And I coach at a very high program. I tell them, I said, before we go out on the field, I'm like, this guy has the music. Everybody else's phones are off. And they play with absolute reckless abandonment when they turn these things off. Because we have some D1 players, and they always get pictures. And the first thing they used to do is grab it when they get in the locker room and go, oh, look at this. Do you see this, coach? They got that great picture. And I said, turn the phones off. Experience it. Don't observe it. Experience it. Don't observe it. So I've tried, and I'm not very good at it because I'm sick of running into trees, but there's times that I'll go across campus and I'll be doing this, and I run into tree limbs. And I've been challenging different individuals, so sometimes I dismiss my classes, and I'm like, turn your phones off and go for a walk. And they breathe and they're less stressed. This is a week that we have that we set aside. You can experience it instead of observe it. I'm going to turn my phone off on Tuesday night and try to detox. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to see how long it goes. I'm warning my family now, probably a little anxious. I'm not going to check scores. I'm not going to look at highlights. I'm not going to play my game. And I'm just going to stare at people, and it's going to be awkward. They're like, what are you looking at? Are you getting ready to die? I don't know. I haven't done this in a while. Experience it. So how do I do it? Two things. One, smells. You realize what United does this time of year? They put those cinnamon pine cones at the beginning. And every time I smell cinnamon pine cones, we're like, oh my word, it's holiday season. It's awesome. But there are smells that take us back to moments. You're going to walk into your house and there'll be some kind of smell from maybe the sheets going, oh, that's what laundry smells like. I don't know what that is. And I realize some of you may say, I'm not going back to a good home. Well, find something that the smell brings you back into some memories that were simpler times. Don't take a picture of it. Don't catalog it. Don't tell your friends, I just smell pine cones. Nobody cares. Breathe. And look around. And see the people that are in your life. Experience it. Don't observe it. So smells, let smell everything. And also, let those experiences bring you back. My parents have been gone for a while. Lisa's parents have been gone for a while. We are the eldest, so we're the experience keepers. And I remember a moment, my parents always messed up our holidays. Both of them died around Thanksgiving. Thank you. And we're fine with it. We have a morbid sense of humor, by the way, so welcome. That had to be, you know, one of, anyway. So anyway, I came home on a Thanksgiving break, and my dad was on a respirator. He died when I was 22 years old. I miss him. He was the best man at my wedding, and there's so many times in my life I just would love to sit in a room. There's two lures, by the way, that I had. We were a fishing family, and I keep them, and every once in a while, don't think I'm weird, I just look at them, and I'm like going, this is my dad. I still have his rod and reels. It's just awesome. But it's been a while. I don't even know what his voice sounds like anymore. But I came home that Thanksgiving, and you got to understand my mother. She was a elementary school cafeteria manager. She was the lunch lady on steroids. She never got below an A on her clean inspection. And our house was 1,600 square foot, very lower middle class, but it was clean. And I walked home, drove in from Lubbock. I didn't walk home. I drove home. I'm not that old. I drove home, and there were dirty dishes in the sink. And I panicked. I'm like, what's that? And my mother was in the room with my dad on a respirator holding his hand. And I said, Mom, are you all right? There's dirty dishes in the sink. And she said, and I'll always remember this, I don't know how much time I have left with your dad. The dishes can wait. It can wait. You were not made to be judged and access life with people who give a rip about you. You were made to live like this. And that makes all the difference. So the last thing we're going to do, and we're going to make these people uncomfortable, you're going to dismiss, and I guess you got to get credit or you'll go to hell. I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen here. You have to earn your chapel credits. You'll be right with God. Don't run away for a moment on behalf of all the professors. They don't have very much to teach you today anyway. So what's going to happen? Before you leave, you got to give five hugs. Don't me. Even the tennis players. You ready? On your mark, get set. You're dismissed.